would you? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think this is a service in which we could almost do nothing but just worship. God has accomplished so much already through worship. Again, it's good to see all of you. To our guests who are here, we do welcome you not only to this service, but to all of our services. This leaves me very little time for my subject. That's happening more frequently than not. So I guess today I'll just give an introduction like I've been doing. One thing I did want to call your attention to, when you leave, there will be a weekly reminder. And the church last week's attendance says 1,270, and that is wrong. What happened when Sister Thomas emailed Sister Grant last night, she couldn't remember, and I couldn't remember, and she thought it was 1,270, but it's 1,171. So it was 90, it's 99 off, okay? So, but we did have good attendance, good food, great time of fellowship. Just so very, very thankful for what God is doing here at Calvary Gospel Church. Wednesday night we had our care meeting, and we have been going through our database, eliminating some names from the membership role, and then, of course, adding some. But I was amazed when Jessica gave me the figure that we have 2,038 people on the membership roll. Now, we're talking about people who attend church. Now, they don't all attend church on a regular basis. That is, weekly basis. You got a good number of people that will come maybe once every 2 weeks or something like that. And we want to encourage everybody to attend all of our services. We keep a weekly attendance, not just a Sunday school attendance. So we know how many different people attended. This past week, there were close to 1,600 people in all of our services, but 1,171 people, different people, attended. Today, I want to start part one. I guess about all I can do is give an introduction. You'll turn to Numbers, the 9th chapter, verse 15 through 23. This deals with the order of the guiding cloud. I use the term guiding cloud because Israel was in the wilderness. They had come out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, been by Mount Sinai, received the Ten Commandments, seen several miracles. And one thing that happened to them and continued to happen to them throughout their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, and that is that in the daytime there was a cloud over them. You have to keep in mind that they were in a desert place, and a cloud is always welcome. Didn't rain much there. And then at night in the desert, it gets real cool. At night, there was a pillar of fire that stood over them. And not only did that give them comfort, but it gave them protection, because it is stated that many of their enemies were very frightened by this phenomenon. They didn't want to go near it because they knew that it represented the Jehovah God that Israel worshiped. So I want to read some about the order of the guiding cloud. Verse 15 of chapter 9. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Now, this was in Exodus 40. That's when the cloud business started. So I'll not go back there and read that this morning. But when they dedicated the tabernacle, the cloud representing the presence of God just totally covered the tabernacle. And it remained there throughout their wandering in the wilderness. So on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at evening, there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. When the cloud tarried long after the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening until the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it be by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Now what the scripture is basically saying here is that wherever the cloud went, that's where they went. So the cloud was used as a protective covering for them. God bless you. You may be seated. This cloud represented the glory of the Lord. The book of Isaiah talks about the Lord being high and lifted up, and talks about his train filling the temple. I do in the morning what I call vision praying, sitting in heavenly places with the Lord. This is something that's been so profitable for me. Isaiah 6, I share it quite often. I just wish that more and more people would buy into what I'm trying to say. You may do it a little differently than I do, but every morning when I pray, I just promise the Lord that I'm not going to leave my place of prayer until I can see the whole house full of the glory of the Lord. And then after I see the whole house full of the glory of the Lord, I like to see all of Madison full of the glory of the Lord. And after that, I like to see all of Dane County filled with the glory of the Lord. Now you say, can you actually see that? Well, I don't physically see it, but with my faith, I can see it. You know, the Bible says if you walk by sight, then you stumble. If you walk by faith, then you will not stumble. That simply means the things that you cannot see with your natural eyes are more reliable. You see them with your spiritual eyes. They're more; those things are more reliable than what you see with your natural eyes. Now, it's so difficult to get people to buy into this. Now, please understand, we've got hundreds of people here at Calvary Gospel Church that follow the cloud. That's what I'm speaking about. Follow the cloud. In Isaiah 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, or as some translations say, the house was filled with a cloud. The cloud or the smoke represented the glory of the Lord. I think about 3 years ago, we had a Spanish camp meeting or some type of meeting here with our bilingual church, and people from all over the state came, mostly Spanish-speaking people. And at the very end of one of the services, several people reported that they saw haze in the building. Now, I'm talking about something that some of you may just kind of brush off as, it's too spiritual to be true. You know, and the thing about it, though, if you really want to get in trouble, just start disbelieving some of the things that we see in the Bible. And maybe the reason why that you do not see more miracles in your personal life and you don't see the favor of God upon your personal life is because that you fail to live in that spiritual dimension. Now, I know that I've talked to some people that tried to live in that spiritual dimension without really dedicating themselves to the Lord. And I think this is what turns a lot of people off. You've heard the statement, you know, they're so heavenly minded, they are of no earthly good. And some people can be that way because they're always wanting to see something, seek for a sign, as the Pharisees did. And yet, on the other hand, they don't want to fast and they don't want to pray and they don't want to dedicate their lives. They're not responsible. But oh, how we need people that seek His face until the glory comes. I say, seek His face until the glory comes. Oh. And I have the luxury that some of you do not have, and that is that when I come in to pray, I don't have to get up and go to a secular job. I realize that. And I also understand that my boss is very understanding in ways that maybe your boss wouldn't be. But nevertheless, you know, you need to see some things in the Spirit. When I see all of Madison, all of Dane County, full of the glory of God, I feel that I'm ready to get up and go any place in Dane County or any place in our city and be under the cloud. That I am protected, I am directed by the cloud. Give you a little history about the country of Israel. This time, they were not a country, they were just a nation. Nation without a country or without land. Of course, Abraham, their father, he was called out of Ur, and the Bible tells us that God told Abraham that wherever he marched, wherever he walked, He was going to give him that land. Now, Abraham did not, no doubt, foresee the Egyptian bondage. Great famine came in the land during the days of Jacob. Jacob's son Joseph was sold by his brethren and then taken down to Egypt and sold to the highest bidder, became a slave. Then what happened was that Jacob's whole household ended up going there. The Bible speaks of about 70 souls that went down to Egypt. And when they went down there, they did not have any intent of staying 400 years, but they stayed 400 years. So Abraham's seed was in bondage 400 years. I think one of the greatest blights on the human race is slavery. To take another person and literally own that person and feel that you have a right to dictate the future of that person. Because according to the scripture, a God should be in control of your future, not somebody else. And of course, we have this blight in our American history, but not only here in America, but in Central America, South America, the Caribbean, in Asia, Europe, where slavery was practiced. But this tenure lasted 435 years. Israel grew in number to about 3.5 million people. Now, that's a lot of people. And God had called Moses to be the deliverer. Moses, however, made some mistakes when he first realized his calling, when he slew an Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and then, of course, his brethren rejected him, so he had to leave. Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. But he was indeed a Jewish person. Moses then went out into the wilderness. So when Moses comes back to deliver Israel, he's 80 years old. He's not a young man anymore. He's 80. And he brings with him his brother, Aaron, who was very gifted in speaking. And he was kind of Moses' mouthpiece. Now we have to understand that the Jewish nation at this point then is a type of the New Testament church. And Egypt, now if we have anyone here that is an Egyptian, this is certainly no, I do not say this to in any way offend you, but the country of Egypt in this case was a type of the world. And Paul explains this in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. So if you want to turn there, we'll just take a look at this. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I know you have it before I have it, because you can just look up at the board. You know, I know we have this on the board, but all of you who have Bibles, I encourage you to turn to your Bible and read it, because it familiarizes you with the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Now, the sea was a Red Sea. "They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, in other words, when they went through the sea, that is a type of our baptism in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So God parted the sea. They walked across. The Egyptians wanted to take advantage of this. They went in to the sea, Pharaoh and his army, and the sea came together, swallowed them up, and they all drowned. Now, the significance of that is that when you are baptized in Jesus' name, the old Egyptian nature is swallowed up and drowned. In other words, the old man is buried in the sea, and a new man walks out. And then the cloud was there, and that is considered spirit baptism. Now the fire, you know, John the Baptist stated concerning Jesus Christ, "He shall baptize you with water. I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost," that is spirit, "and fire." The fire is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't think that, you know, if you look in the Bible, in the book of Numbers is very clear that it appeared likened to a fire. If you notice on the day of Pentecost when they received the Holy Ghost, there were clothing tongues like as a fire. And it's set upon each of them. So God has a way of performing miracles, like the miracle of the burning bush where Moses got his call in the wilderness. It was burning, but it was never consumed. And Jeremiah speaks of the Holy Spirit that will come upon new believers. It's like fire, he said, that's shut up in your bones. It's something that's effective. It's something that's burning. They did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Did you know that in the wilderness, God provided miraculous water for them? And 3.5 million people, I don't know how much water it takes for that number of people. Of course, you use water for other reasons than just drinking. But there was a rock that followed. I don't know how that happened. I have no idea. But I do know this, that it followed them because the Bible says it did. So every place they went, now 3.5 million people, that's no small band of people, let me tell you. This is the reason why that the nations around them feared them. They were great in number. The problem is, though, they had no experience in warfare. And they had very little to fight with. So if they wanted protection, they had to stay under the cloud. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as many of them did. So when they were in the wilderness, this was not an ideal place. Not an ideal place at all. Their goal was to go to the promised land, land that had been promised to Abraham. But things went wrong. Unbelief set in. After seeing the miracle of the Red Sea and camping around Sinai, and the Bible says that the voice of God spoke from the mountain like thunder. In other words, it literally shook the ground where they were. And the voice of God spoke from the mountain. They had many other miracles too. But let me just say, before you become so quick to judge them as to why they had unbelief, you must first, I think, take a look at your own life. Because the greatest miracle of all miracles, according to Jesus, when he spoke to the Pharisees that sought for a sign, was the sign of Jonas. He was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. So shall the Son of Man be three days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And we know that Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, that's the new birth. Jesus Christ died so that you can die. Jesus Christ was buried so that you can bury your old man. Jesus Christ arose to newness of life so that you can arise to newness of life. But you know, you look at these people. They didn't have much association with Moses before Moses delivered them. He was 40 years, keep in mind, out in the wilderness. Some of them had probably heard the story about this Hebrew guy that grew up in Pharaoh's palace. But Moses was not a warrior. He had little experience in battle. They knew that the Egyptians were noted for their warfare. Then also with them came a mixed multitude of people. Exodus 12, verse 38. So if you will turn there, we want to read this. Exodus 12, verse 38. All right, Exodus 12, verse 38. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. Now this mixed multitude, this happened to be a multitude of people. It's also, they're also spoken of in Romans, in Numbers, the 11th chapter, verse 1 through 6. Talks about the mixed multitude. Now the mixed multitude, this was a multitude of people that were no doubt married into the Egyptian people, and the Egyptian people marrying into the Hebrew people. And they had a choice when it came time to leave, where they could stay in their home country and have connection, or go with Israel. But see, this mixed multitude represents people who want to be associated with the church, and yet they do not want to be regenerated and moved and directed by the Holy Spirit. They just like church, and you know, and I've seen this happen here at Calvary Gospel Church. You'll have an individual who'll come and sit and still just live like the devil. And this mixed multitude had an effect on the children of Israel, because they were very large. There was a very large number. Not only that, the Bible says they had a lot of cattle and a lot of possessions. They took all of those, so they had some influence. And most of you have been in this church, or you've heard me preach or some other preacher preach long enough to know when there's someone that's not totally following the cloud, and when they start giving you a message that's contrary to the message that you hear from behind the pulpit. You know that. But still, the mixed multitude created a big problem. Now, they marched on to, and they came to Kadesh Barnea. Now, from the Red Sea to Kadesh Barnea, the place to cross Jordan to go in the Promised Land, is estimated by a lot of Bible theologians that they could have made this journey in about 8 days. But it took them 40 years to get in there. From God's perspective, you know, you look at these people, and God, according to Numbers 14, verse 22 and 23, God was ready to strike them down. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. And so the Lord is saying that he's not going to let a lot of them in. When they got to Kadesh Barnea, and they sent out the 10 spies, or the 12 spies, 10 of them came back and said, we can't take the land. There's too many giants over there. And Joshua and Caleb, two people that just happened to believe the report of God, they went in. Now, you have to keep in mind, they didn't go over there to see if they could take the land. That was not what they went over there for. They went over there to see how they were to take the land. So really, you can say that there was a missed assignment. They came back and said, we can't do it. Oh, no, it's the Promised Land. Please keep in mind, it can be done. I say it can be done. And you know, God, I have known of people that God has made promises to, and all of a sudden, you know, after several attempts and things didn't work out, and they just looked at the enemy and they looked at everything that they said, I can't do this. But if God said you can, you can. And you may have to do something different from what you've done before. See? But you have to understand now that the cloud led them to Kadesh Barnea. And you know, the cloud was going to lead them all the way across into the promised land. But they came back and said, we can't do it. And God says, I will take every person in this 3.5 million people. I'll take every person that's 20 years old and older, and I will march them in the wilderness until their bones are bleached because they don't believe me. They just don't believe me. Now, it sounds like a real radical move by God. Knowing human flesh the way I know human flesh. But Moses prayed a prayer, and he said, now, Lord, don't destroy them. So God says, okay, I want, but I'll have to raise up some that will believe me. I think Psalm 78 tells us a lot about the mercy of God and how God looked at this situation. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered, God remembered, that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Do you know you can limit God in your life? And sometimes a cloud moves, and sometimes you don't want to move with it. See, we all want God to use us. We all want to do something great for God. We all want to see God do something great, but very rarely does God ever do something great without a human being being involved, without a person being involved. So when the cloud moves, you have the responsibility to stay on the cloud. Now, that's the way it was in Israel. They didn't know when they put their tents down how long they were going to be there. They didn't know if it was going to be one day, 2 days, 1 week, a month. They may put it down tonight and tomorrow move. You may say, tell me what is the wisdom of that? Well, I've just lived long enough not to question the wisdom of God. But I think part of this is designed to teach us to follow him. We need to follow the Lord. And sometimes, you know, the cloud lifts and it goes back this way and you feel like you're backing up. Have you ever felt like you're losing ground, you're backing up? I have. Look at Joseph. Joseph was thrown in prison and he just kept on backing up. It seemed like everything he did, he just backed up, backed up, backed up, backed up, backed up, backed up. And you know what? The cloud was moving, so to speak. And Joseph just kept on staying under the cloud, living right, doing what God wanted him to do. You know what he did? He literally backed up all the way to the throne. Became second in command in all of Egypt. So you know, when you are led by the Spirit, you feel like you're backing up. You may be backing into a miracle. Something that's great. Something that's mighty. I don't know if this affects you the way it affects me, but this past week I was just praying and God just laid this on my heart so heavily. Follow the cloud and the fire. The Shekinah glory of God that covered that tabernacle and that temple. See, 1 Corinthians 6:19, We are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Now, I'm not saying that you should go around feeling like you have a halo over your head. Because you have to remember that your flesh, you can be affected by the mixed multitude. But if you know someone that's not true blue Christian, let me ask you this. Why in the world do you want to hang around them and fellowship with them? If you know someone that's not living right, why do you want to have them over your house and eat with them? And light hath no fellowship with darkness. You may say, oh, but I'm just trying to befriend them and win them. But the problem is, after a while, the question is, whose convert is whose? You know, hey, you know what? I'm going to have to quit. It's past time already. So we'll just have to pick this up tonight. But I got to tell you, when I see someone that's not really sold out for the Lord, and they're just wanting to fellowship everybody and have as much influence on everyone as they can, and they take some new convert or some precious soul and try to indoctrinate them, hey, stay on the cloud. That's where the protection is. Stay on the cloud. That's where the glory is. That's where the anointing is. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, please stand with me at this time. John, the 6th chapter, verse 44. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except the Spirit draweth him. So God's Holy Spirit is in this place today. I feel it right now. And you know what? The cloud is moving toward this altar right now. And some of you, you need to step out from where you are and follow the cloud right down to the altar and say, Lord, I want to rededicate. I want to submit. Or perhaps you need to be born again. You've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you just step out and come on down to the front? Come on right now. Come on. Now, we always pray for the sick, so if we have someone that's sick in their body, come and stand over here on your left. If you've been dealing with problems in your life and situations that you can't seem to overcome, just come and stand right here in front of the pulpit. But if you want a renewed experience in God, just follow the cloud right to the altar this morning. Come on, right now. Come on. That's it. Come on down. People are coming from all over the building.